NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour two coming at you. The Lombardi Line, presented as always by BetMGM, alongside former NFL general manager Michael Lombardi, who's out on the East Coast. I'm Stormy Bonatoni, live at our VSiN studio at Circa Resort and Casino, just outside of the biggest sports book in the world. Not too shabby a backdrop every day that we come to work here, Michael. Also, excited to have our guy Harry Gagnon back on the program in about 30 minutes. He's got some MLB bets and, of course, some NFL futures, NFL training camps opening up all over the country this week. So we've had tons of news and notes coming out all over the place. But Michael, as we start this hour talking about what's on Michael's mind, it's actually a player we already discussed a little bit earlier in the program and a certain rating. So take us through what's on your mind today.
Well, Pro Football Focus put out their top 50 players. And to me, you know, look, everybody's entitled to their opinions, and certainly you know, and everybody that listens to me, I don't necessarily always agree with Pro Football Focus's their ratings and who actually does it, right? You don't know who does the grading. It's a kind of a mysterious thing. It's a little bit about, it's like the floor and Bernie Madoff's. Who's doing the investment? Nobody would ever tell you, right? So it's a little bit of a Ponzi scheme. But that being said, you know, the names that they put forth certainly are, you know, interesting. The one name that really kind of irritated me, as low as he was Nick Bosa. Like, Nick Bosa is the best outside nickel rusher in the league by far. He changes the game completely. And nobody really can go into a route without chipping them, without doubling them, without doing certain things to them. Mm-hmm. And for him to be the sixth best player on their list, to me, makes it hard to understand their list. Look, I know Aaron Donald's a good player, right? Trent Williams, I think Trent Williams would tell you Nick Bosa is better than him. They had Trent Williams as the third best player in the league. They have Travis Kelce as the fourth. They had Myles Garrett ahead of them. Like, I love Myles Garrett. But Myles Garrett and Nick Bosa, I'm going to take Nick Bosa. So to me, I think these ratings are a little bit miscued, and it leads me down. What's on my mind is we got to stop paying attention to it, right? Because they're evaluate the evaluator. Like, what says that this is the right list? Because here's the thing. They have Andrew Thomas, who's a good player, just got a contract extended. They have him rated over Justin Herbert. So what that tells you is that they don't have a grading system. They're not grading the players. Because if you're grading quarterbacks, this list, the first 10 players should be the quarterbacks. Yeah. They're the best players in the league.
Yep, that's why they're paid what they are. When it comes to Nick Bosa, though, I feel like I can't even give a fair answer to you on this, Michael, because I'm so biased. Like, I, of course, would say that I think that he's a top three player, top four player versus being number six on this list. He's had more than 15 sacks each of the last 2 years, coming off 18 and a half a defensive player of the year performance. The pressures are numerous. He's a game changer at the position, as you referenced. So I'm biased, but because we talk about evaluate the evaluators, what would your PFF rating be of PFF?
Oh, I will pay no attention to it. I think I really don't. I think it's noise. I think it's noise that became popular because Chris, who, you know, is on NBC, and people put it, and people are looking for a quick way to determine, you know, who's a good player and who's not. You know, like, for example, they have Kyle Hamilton as a safety. Kyle Hamilton doesn't play. He's their best safety in football. He doesn't play safety. He's a nickel sub backer. That's what he plays. He's never in the deep third of the field. To play safety, you have to be in the deep third of the field. Travis Kelce's not a tight end. You can call him that if you like, but he's not. You can call Kyle Pitts that too. So for me, I'd like to know who's doing the evaluations. You know, if you're, I put my name in front of it. You know, whatever my credentials are speaks for what I think of. Same thing with pro. They should do the same. You just don't know who's doing the evaluating. And then everybody cites it as if it's the gospel according to the Pro Football Focus. Pro Football Focus is this Pro Football. Like, seriously. I mean, like, I watch it, and I don't understand. Who's grading the offensive linemen? Like, do they understand the schemes? You know how hard it is to know everybody's scheme in the league? Do you know everybody's I did this, Stormy, one time. back in the early 2000s, ESPN had this guy who was one of these graders, and he was doing his own service. And it was Al Davis thought it was interesting. So he said, fly that guy out here and talk to him. So I did. I flew him out there. We went in a room, and we started talking about coverage. I said, what coverage are you calling this? Well, what's man? What coverage are you calling that? What's man? No, it's not. No, it's not. That's not man. You know, like, they didn't know the coverage. Like, how do you grade defensive players if you don't know the coverage?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's people on Twitter that criticize Mike Tomlin because they see a linebacker covering a back and the flat. Well, they're playing a coverage that has first and a flat. Okay? So that's the weakness in the coverage. That's what they do. It isn't because Tomlin's stupid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, understand the game before you criticize it.
There are a lot more factors that go into these things. For me, at least, when I utilize PFF, I use it more for their stat breakdown and some of the advanced stats that they have versus actually looking at their grades of their top whatever that they're putting out on a given week. But that's just my opinion on it, at least. PFF,
I would be lying to you. I look at it because we are in the information business, you know?
For sure.
And so, but like all stats, okay? Justin Fields played really well the last five games of the year based on his QBR. That's a stat, too. I watched those last five games. I watched the Detroit game. They're behind by 20-some points, and they're still trying to run the ball. All the plays that he made came off his feet, not his arm. How is that a good game for him?
I mean,
he got sacked numerous times. He took sacks numerous times.
Yeah, I told you a bunch, Michael, for everybody saying that they think that Justin Fields and the Bears are going to take this massive leap. That's just not something that's on my radar. I hope that he gets better and improves and that they take a step and they, you know, change their trajectory a little bit. But their win total is 7.5, and that seems high to me. I don't have interest buying in on anything really that involves that team. And speaking of which, like, let's go back to a topic that we were discussing a little bit before Pam Maldonado. A great segment, by the way, with her of Yahoo Sports, broke down all things college football. But before she joined the program, we got cut off by a commercial break talking a little bit about the Arizona Cardinals, and you were kind of comparing situations with the Chicago Bears.
Well, yeah, because, you know, when Matt Eberflus left Indianapolis and he became the head coach of the Chicago Bears, I wondered, like, really, what was that about? Now, what we learned was that, you know, Eberflus comes from the Rod Marinelli scheme, comes from the Tony Dungy scheme, you know, and Bill Polian and everybody kind of convinced the Bears that Matt Eberflus was the right guy for the job. Great. He got the head coaching job. I wondered how they were going to be better on defense because the Colts weren't great on situational defense. And so he's a young head coach. Then he hires Luke Getsy in his first time to be an offensive coordinator. And then he hires Alan Richards to be his defense coordinator, but he's still the defense coordinator. So he's got basically a very inexperienced staff with an inexperienced quarterback and not a lot of talent. Sounds like the Arizona Cardinals, right? Right. And so my point is, you know, they won four games last year with a quarterback who people think played great in the last five games of the year. I don't. So, like, what makes us think that the Cardinals with a new coach, with a rookie coordinators on both sides of the ball and less talent than probably most teams in the league have, are going to win five games? How can that possibly be? I don't see it like you don't. I think if you draw the comparison between the Bears and them, you would say, I know the Bears have a bad offensive line, but they still had a quarterback who most people think is going to be an elite player. And good quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson walked on the field after Joe Flacco couldn't do anything, and all of a sudden the Ravens became a playoff team.
With this Cardinals, let's keep it rolling on the Cardinals here. Kyler Murray's contract is obviously what it is. A lot of guaranteed money on the table. How tough a spot is this organization in if this season does go the way we foresee it to be, that it's a bad year? Jonathan Gannon isn't able to get this team on the right track. They're off of the rails. They're in a position where they can draft first overall, and Caleb Williams is sitting right there. Like, do they set that money on fire and take Caleb Williams, or what do you do?
They have to, because everybody that's left that building in Arizona, if you talk to anybody who's left that building, none of them are buying into the Kyler Murray hype. Now, maybe Michael Bidwell is the owner, and maybe that's the only voice that counts. But no one's buying into that. His demeanor, his relationship with players, his ability to – look, that clause didn't get in his contract because all of it just got in there. It wasn't at midnight that somebody put that thing in there. It was negotiated by two parties, the player and the club. And I'm sure the club initiated the clause – because they saw the problem. You think that problem's going away? Of course it's not going away. It's all PR. Nobody wants to tell the truth.
Kyler Murray, when he played last year, 11 games, 3-8, career low, 87.2 passer rating. Season was a mess. I expect this season to be a mess as well. Win total sitting 4.5. We said earlier, where do you see 5 wins? I don't. They are a 10-1 shot to make the playoffs, -2,000 to miss. If that gives you any indication,
10-1. That's all they are, is 10-1.
That's a pretty big.
You know
big
why
number.
That has to be the 10-1. The AFC, the NFC does. I mean, 10-1. Are you kidding me?
25-1. They're 25-1 to win the West. Yes, and we're going to go over plenty of those, I'm sure.
That should be 100-1 to win the West. That should be 100-1.
I'm still trying to figure out even who's going to step up in the wide receiver game, because you look at, like, no D-Hop, obviously, and it's
well,
not like
he was.
Well,
they got the Munchkins land. They got Hollywood Brown. They got Rondell Moore. They got all these 5'8 receivers.
It is, yeah. I was going to say, D-Hop played 9 games last year, and he had more receiving yards than Hollywood Brown did. Now, I mean, Zach Ertz maybe could be their leader this year. I could see that happening. We got to take
If I'm Zach Ertz, I want out. If I'm Zach Ertz, I want out.
He left a good situation, man. We got to take a quick break here. More news and notes coming out of training camp when we return on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on
VSiN, the
Sports
sound.
Betting Network.
But have you ever heard about the sounds of speeding? Drive too fast and you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing, because one way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. And Michael, I didn't expect to open up the segment with this, because I already thought that this information was out there and known, but it came across my timeline. So I'll tell you now, Frank Reich has confirmed Bryce Young, QB1.
I saw that too, Stormy. I was surprised that that's news today.
Yeah.
Like, we've been saying this now for a month, right? There's 4 teams. We look at the betting splits on the board, and this not the DraftKings betting splits, because that's something you get from VSiN, which is vital. But we also have another way to look, where it's a lot of all the betting markets come in. And Indianapolis hasn't announced a starter. Tampa hasn't announced a starter. Surprisingly, Tennessee hasn't announced a starter. San Francisco, even with the Purdy news, doesn't link a starter. And Arizona. And so that's affected in the initial line, right? Whereas Carolina has always been, and just as Houston has always been, Bryce Young, and Houston's been C.J. Stroud. So I didn't know how this was news today.
Yeah, and honestly, maybe my mind is just playing tricks on me, but I thought, for all intents and purposes, that Reich had already said that, essentially, during the OTAs
and
minicamp time. So it's confirmed, I guess. If it wasn't already, it is now.
We've been talking like he's the starter all along.
Absolutely. And we do. We've made it very clear. But for anybody who's just tuning into the Lombardi Line for the first time, we are all in on Carolina Panthers stuff this year. We like them at the +375 option to win the NFC South. Bryce Young, I think, especially of those rookie quarterbacks, the most pro-ready at the position of any of the guys coming out of the draft this year. And he's got some good weapons around him. So excited to see what he can do. And I've been shopping around, Michael. I still don't have a number that I like necessarily yet on Offensive Rookie of the Year, but I'll keep plugging away and seeing what I can do. We also have a number of other news headlines to get to. We talked off the top of the show about the new contract extension secured by Justin Herbert. If you missed any of that conversation, make sure you download the Lombardi Line in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. But a number of contracts coming through, in addition to Herbert, in addition to Trayvon Diggs, which we've already discussed. The Giants have locked up their left tackle, Andrew Thomas, 5 years, $117.5 million on the extension, making him one of the richest offensive linemen in the game with the highest guarantee, a reported $67 million in fully guaranteed money. Been among the league's best left tackles in recent years. Even while the Giants have struggled to protect the passer, he's kind of been that staple guy up front. So good on him. And now I think as you continue to build these pieces around a guy in Daniel Jones who's getting paid the big bucks to play quarterback, the excuses are becoming less and less for him to have success. Yet, given the schedule that they have in front of them, I don't foresee them having the year I know that they want to with all of those pieces.
Well, they're running out of excuses, Stormy, right? I mean, they've got Barkley signed. They think they have Waller, who's making $17 million, $15 million a year, right? And Waller's going to be sensational in terms of practices, which he was in the mini camps, because Waller's a great athlete. I mean, you know, nobody in Las Vegas thought Waller was not going to have a great season last year when they left OTA days. It's when they got to training camp and when they got to the rigors of the physicality that all of a sudden it wasn't the same. So they've got Waller there. They've got two offensive tackles, one Evan Neal they drafted in the first round, one Andrew Thomas they picked in the first round. So, you know, and then they just drafted Michael Schmidt, John Michael Schmidt, as a offensive center, the start center for them. So they've repaired the offensive line. They've got running backs. Now, what's the excuse why Daniel Jones can't average over 7 yards per attempt? Why can't they make plays? Why can't they become more explosive? We're going to find out.
That's been my whole thought process when it comes to Daniel Jones, because like I said, with all of the stuff that's been going on with Saquon Barkley before he signed that 1 year deal with whatever it is, I still don't understand how that whole situation played out with Saquon agreeing to what he agreed to. But with Daniel Jones being, I think we can all agree, a mediocre quarterback at best, he has 1 year where he is proven that he can play above what we thought of him, which I don't think is enough of a sample size to say that he deserved the contract that he did, but that's in the position that we're at here. And a 9-win season a year ago in a schedule we know was very easy compared to the strength of schedule that they're going to have up against them this year. Their win total is only 7.5 for a reason. It's very hard for me to view this team as a playoff team, even with Brian Daboll, coach of the year, coming in there and guiding the way for them.
Yeah, I mean, look, he started 16 games for them, and he carried the ball 120 times. He's the second leading rusher on their team. One of the areas where Daniel Jones looked like he could eventually become a good player for the Giants was the fact that they used him in the six-back offense. Gained 708 yards, right? Had 7 rushing touchdowns. I mean, think about that, Stormy. His long game was only 25 yards, so he was making his yardage kind of with 6 and 7 and 8 yard runs. So he's getting tackled quite a bit. He averaged 44 yards per game, and he averaged 7 carries a game. So you go into the game knowing that your quarterback's going to carry it 7, 8 times a game, maybe more. I wonder, do they change? Do they shift this? And now all of a sudden, if they get away from his athletic skills, which he does, he's a very good athlete. If they get away from his running ability because they want to save him, I think it's going to hurt their offense.
Another deal we saw come through over the wire, the Texans signed right tackle Tyus Howard to a 3-year extension, $56 million, 36.5 of that guaranteed. He started 54 games over the last 4 seasons for Houston, a former first-round pick, so he was going into the final year of his rookie contract. What's your general outlook for the Houston Texans this year with C.J. Stroud under center and that new coaching staff? I think that maybe they could be better than people think they are. That's not to say that they're going to go out there and, I don't know, have an 8-9 win season, but I think that they could be better than people think.
Well, look, they signed Howard to a huge contract, and he hasn't played to the level that we think he should. They signed Mason to a contract after he was a cap casualty in New England. Then he was got traded to Tampa, and then Tampa traded him to Houston as a cap casualty. He hasn't played well in 2 years, but they signed him to a record-breaking contract. They draft Juice Scruggs in the second round. They trade up to get him to play center. They drafted Kenyon Green as a first-round pick from A&M to play left guard. And they've got Laramie Tunsil to play left tackle. Like, if this isn't a really good offensive line this year, then they've misevaluated it, right? They've overpaid it, and they misevaluated it. And if they're good enough in the offensive line, then it's going to help Stroud. It's going to help Damian Pierce. It's going to help their team. They should win 6-7 games. If this line is as good as they've paid for it, then I think you've got to take them seriously. I think they're going to be an improved team. I really do. They're not devoid of talent. They have some really good players. And Howard was a first-round. Think about that. First-round pick in Howard. You know, Shaq Mason's won 2 Super Bowls. Shrugs is a second-round pick. Green's a first-round pick. Tunsil's. They got 3 first-round picks and a number 2 in the offensive line. They should be good there. And they've got a really good running back in Damian Pierce. You know, and they signed Devin Singletary as a free agent. They got Mike Boone there. You know, look, they have a lot of things going for them.
One concern and question I'm curious your thoughts on are, because we talk a lot about how the NFL is changing and defensive head coaches don't always end up having the most success. When you have a defensive head coach in DeMeco Ryans who comes over from the San Francisco 49ers, but a rookie quarterback and some things that you're trying to work in on offense, is that like what do you foresee with him as the head coach in this spot? I'm very curious as a first-time head coach with a new rookie quarterback when you're defensive-minded, how that'll come together.
I think it's going to be a challenge. I think this is going to be the hurdle he has to get over, right? So he's going to let Bobby Slovic, who was with him in San Francisco, run the offense. And they're going to run Kyle's offense, let's say. They're going to be an outside zone, inside zone team, play action, play under center, play from shotgun, allow Stroud to have easy throws. We'll see how it goes. I think he, as a head coach, has to be willing to instill what he believes the offense needs to be. You know, he needs to be the head coach. I said this earlier. There's really only one guy on the coaching staff who's literally in his contract has the word winning, right? Everybody else that's under contract as an assistant has responsibilities. Bobby Slovic, his job is not to win. His job is to get first down and score points. You know, Matt Burke, the defense coordinator, his job is to stop them from scoring and turn the ball over. Frank Ross is in charge of controlling field position and not and making kicks. The only guy that's really in his job is winning. And when you understand that, then you make sure everything works towards winning. That's why Tomlin is so good. I wrote about this today. It's why you can't doubt Mike Tomlin. You know, everybody talks about their offense isn't sexy. We heard Will Hill say, "Yeah, they're not, well, they may not be good, but they find a way to win games."
Yeah, and for the Tomlin situation specifically, it's hard to go against 16 years of something that's been proven. And that even when you doubt them, yeah, exactly. Even when you doubt them, the consistency always seems to just smack you and get you right there. We have to take a quick step aside here, Michael. But when we return, our guy Harry Gagnon is going to join us. I know he's got some NFL futures plays. Speaking of Bryce Young, he has a bet for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Another Alabama player that he is targeting. We'll discuss it all when we return.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page, where you can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Top VSiN Experts Leaderboard is available now to see betting records, profit, and ROI as well, so you can tell which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro Picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up now for just $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We are rolling along here on the Lombardi Line alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, and we welcome to the show, like we always do on a Wednesday, Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast, at Harry, on Twitter. Oh my goodness gracious. But rumor has it, Harry, not only are you back in the States, but you are actually in Foxborough. You're going to check out Patriots training camp. So I was wondering if you could just do your best to find out what's going on with the potential contract talks and landing Dalvin Cook. That would be great.
That would be something, wouldn't it? Yeah, you know what? I just happened to catch a flight back, guys, from Munich yesterday. I just happened to be in Boston. I'll be heading back to Phoenix later on today. But yeah, Michael, very humid, muggy here, 90 degrees. I stuck around for about 15 minutes, watched a little of the Patriots practice, and I had to get out of there.
Yeah, well, you know, that's rare, though. One thing, it's going to get really hot here on the East Coast this week, but typically one of the complaints when I worked there for us as a team was we never had enough humidity. We never have enough heat, especially, you know, sometimes we opened up the season in Miami, which you got to deal with it. The Patriots will travel to Green Bay, not a hot place to practice against them. They'll also travel to Tennessee, which is hot and humid, which will give them as they get prepared for their opener against the Eagles at home.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. That's going to be one for the great start to the season. And, guys, I'll be heading back to Phoenix where I think, you know, even though it's 115, I appreciate the heat at 115 a lot more than I do the humidity. I got to get out of here.
Well, I know we're going to talk plenty of football, but it appears that football is on your brain as well, being out there. I need to know more about what's going on with your soccer bet, who you met, and why you have a Ken T-shirt on.
Yeah, you know what? I have a Ken Barbie T-shirt on because it's the only clean shirt I have left from 2 weeks in Europe. But you know what? With the hotel we're staying at, right next to Gillette Stadium. The New England Revolution is playing Atletico San Luis of the Mexican League, and listen, I'm gonna take the Revolution. By the way, at -124, New England's given up just one goal in the last three matches. How about that? I got a soccer play for you.
I love it, Harry. I love it. I also like your play. You have Jalen Hurts to win Offensive Player of the Year. You don't think he'll win MVP, but you think he'll win Player of the Year. So, like in my mind, if you're the Offensive Player of the Year, aren't you typically going to win the MVP?
Well, you would think so, but, you know, that didn't happen to Cooper Kupp 2 years back, and it seems like the MVP is always a quarterback position award when the Offensive Player of the Year usually goes to a running back or a wide receiver, Michael. But I'm going to go with Offensive Player of the Year, Hurts at 25-1. He was tremendous last season. I felt he got hosed a lot, and a lot of those postseason awards because they sort of went to Mahomes and the Chiefs there. He had 35 total touchdowns last year, 13 of those rushing. He averaged 50 yards a game rushing the ball. He had 600 total plays, if you include his rushes, and he only had 6 total turnovers. McCaffrey and Chase lead at 11-1 for this award, which is definitely worthy, for especially considering probably the season Chase is going to be able to put up here. But at 25-1, I think that's good in value. Like I said, not a lot of times it goes, this Offensive Player of the Year award goes to a quarterback. But I think Hurts got screwed last year in a lot of these awards. He has to put up the same numbers or even better than he did last year. I think 25-1 is worth a shot.
Yeah, and with his dual threat ability, it makes sense that that's something that could potentially work out in his favor. I like the idea. You're also looking at another former Alabama star, but at the running back position, Jahmyr Gibbs for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I know the Lions clearly believe in his potential based on the way they went up and grabbed him as early in the draft as they did. What makes you believe he can be the breakout player in this class, especially considering the favorite is another running back in Bijan Robinson?
Yeah, look, Stormy, I agree. 7-1, I think you can get Gibbs for. Detroit offense is ready to roll. Like a brand new Ford Mustang. They were third in scoring in the NFC a year ago and made some big changes from a year ago offensively. The biggest was saying goodbye, I think, to running back DeAndre Swift after a couple of years and making room for Gibbs now. 5'9", 200. He's going to get plenty of touches in this offense. Averaged 6 yards a carry at Bama last season. And he actually can catch the ball, too. He had 44 receptions. He was third on the Crimson Tide in receptions last year too, so he's going to take over. He's going to get plenty of touches in the backfield for Detroit, and this team is ready to roll. Like I said, with a tremendous offense.
You know, Harry, I know there's no grass growing under your feet, right? I know that you are, you know, even though you're in Europe, you're following Major League Baseball. You're staying on top of anything. And, you know, today you got to play for us. You got the third place Angels going against the third place Tigers in Detroit. We've got, you know, a situation where, you know, both teams are, well, obviously the Angels are 3 games over, they're 3 games over 500, and the Tigers, I was going to call them the Lions. The Tigers, you know, are you know, are 22 and 28 at home this year. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first, I am in my last 15 picks on extrapoints.com. Every single day we put up, me and the Degenerate Trifecta pick up our best bet of the day. I'm 12-3 in my last 15 against the spread, and I really like this game under, guys. I like it under in the first three innings at minus 125 at 2.5, and I like under 8.5 for the game at minus 115. Now, Angels' Patrick Sandoval, last two starts, he's given up just one earned run in both, and the Tigers' Michael Lorenzen. Many people don't know who he is. He was the All-Star representative for the Tigers, and he's pitching like a Cy Young Award winner. In July, he's had three starts, and if you want to throw in the All-Star game that he pitched, he hasn't given up a run. He hasn't given up a run in the whole month of July. Zero earned runs. I'm going to take under 8.5 with Sandoval, Lorenzen, Tigers, Angels.
That's one of 11 games still to come later on this evening. We've got four in action right now. But, Harry, favorites in Major League Baseball went 11-4 yesterday, and you're looking at a couple sub-$2 favorites today to pair together in a moneyline parlay. The Braves, the best team in baseball right now, is 64 wins. They're a minus 165 favorite against the Sox. Astros and Framber Valdez, minus 175, hosting the Rangers. Put them together around plus 150. Why do you trust these two teams to get it done today?
That's right, Stormy. The Braves, best record in Major League Baseball on the road at 32-16. They also have the best run differential in the National League at plus 142. And Spencer Strider on the mound leads Atlanta in wins and Ks. So give me the Braves over Boston as I leave the Beantown. Give me Framber Valdez, too, of Houston and the Astros. They look to sweep their in-state rivals, Texas. Houston is 9-3 in their last 12 when Valdez has started. I'm going to take the Astros and the Braves for a two-team parlay.
And Harry,
all right, so Harry, you're back in America. I love it. You're done. Are you done Springsteen touring, or are you going to continue on the tour here in America?
Michael, I think for a little bit, I'm done on the Springsteen tour.
Wow.
We didn't make it to Milan. Sorry, pal. I told you we had some issues with the tickets in Milan, so. Took a little breather, but when it's back in the States, I know you've got the Philadelphia concert coming up pretty soon. November 30th, he'll be in Phoenix. We'll be at that one. So, Michael, you're more than welcome, Stormy, you too. Come on out, and we can have some fun in Phoenix.
It's an easy drive. Not too hard to get down there to Phoenix from Vegas. Harry, awesome stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate your time. And remind people again where they can get all your stuff.
Always at AAO Harry on Twitter and at extrapoints.com.
See, I had to make sure he said it because I messed it up so bad when I intro'd him. Great stuff as always.
Not as bad as I messed up the Angels and the Tigers. Not as bad as I messed that up.
I always tell people, Michael, believe it or not, I am paid to speak. I don't know how it happened. I don't know why some, but don't tell my bosses. Actually, I probably shouldn't say this on the air. But
look, when it comes to baseball, I mean, you know, certainly it's tough, but. Harry's on a hot streak. How can we ignore it, right? We got to give the man his props. And now that he's going to be back in America for a while, maybe he'll even get hotter. I know he does a great job on the NFL coverage as well.
Yeah, he certainly does. What did you think of that Jahmyr Gibbs pick for Offensive Rookie of the Year? I saw as high as 10-1 for that available.
You know, look, I wrote about the Steelers today, but I was looking at the Lions. Look, they've got plans for him. I think they see him as Kamara. And when you watch him play at Alabama, he reminded me of Kamara quite a bit. You know, Kamara started out at Alabama, transferred to Tennessee. This kid started at Georgia Tech, transferred to Alabama. So I could see it. I think Ben Johnson does a nice job calling plays. And they're going to be skilled. Can Goff duplicate this protecting of the ball that he did last year? It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, can that happen and the offense continue to take steps forward? Because obviously they were dynamic throughout the majority of the season. But also can their defense maybe help them out a little bit so that the hype can be as real as a lot of people want to believe that it is coming into this year? Why not Wednesday to round out the show when we return?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located here on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification, eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, before we get to Why Not Wednesday, it's time here at the end of the hour, as it always is, for our VSiN pro tip of the day. You can find these all at VSiN.com, searchable by show and by sport. So if you're looking for the one specifically from us, that's how you can do it. But Michael, today's pro tip coming from our great friend Pam Maldonado, Yahoo Sportsbook betting analyst who joined us earlier in the program. We were talking a little bit of college football, and I thought she made a really astute point talking about, for some bettors right now, if you're looking at college football futures, particularly some of those season win totals where the expectations are lower, it's a lower, more of an underdog type of a win total that you're looking at. If you don't want to sit on that bet all season, if you're not finding the price you want on a season win total over, go ahead and just look to the regular season. Find some of those games where they're underdogs. You think that they're going to exceed expectations and win some of those games. You can probably find better numbers and more instant gratification that way.
No question. You know, and you got to always weigh, do I tie my money up for 6 months or 4 months? Or is the number too good that I can't pass it up today, right? Because these numbers evolve and change during the course of the season. So I think that's a really good tip by Pam.
Betting pro tips, once again, available at vsin.com. Now, time for Why Not Wednesday. And people might be like, Stormy, what are you talking about? What does that even mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. So we're going to look at a few futures bets that are good plus money prices. So meaning that based on the numbers and what odds makers are telling us, these things are less likely to happen, right? But producer Steph gathered a bunch of these up, and I'm going to kind of gauge from you, Michael, whether or not this is a bet that you don't believe in, you think it's not going to hit, or if it's one of those things that makes you turn your head sideways and say, why not? So, hence Why Not Wednesday. There we go. So, the first one that producer Steph found for us is the Denver Broncos in the AFC West. They are a plus 550 price, third on the odds board to get it done behind the Chiefs and the Chargers. Do they make you say, why not? Or absolutely not? What do you think?
I think they make me say, why not? I do think that, you know, as somebody who believes in the value of coaching and the impact of coaching, that I do believe that Denver will improve their team. And I'm not saying that that means Russell Wilson will improve. I'm saying their team will improve because so much focus is on Russell Wilson. But I think what Sean Payton as a head coach will do is manage Russell Wilson. And, you know, we know this. Russ is no longer cooking at the French Laundry. He's working at a diner. So we're not going to let him cook every day. We're going to make sure that he does some things. So I'm going to say, why not? You know, why not? Sure.
Why not?
You know, I'll be like Frank Pantangeli. Why not? Yeah, that's what they say.
He was cooking in the back of a Waffle House. That's how it was. I mean, it was really bad in a ton of areas.
And not disrespecting a Waffle House. Have you been to Waffle Houses, Stormy? You cannot disrespect them. Nope.
I have, and it always tastes good, but then I always leave with a stomach ache, and that's not what you want to feel. So that's probably
there's no guarantee. That's the guarantee they don't make. They just say you're going to like it. That's all they say.
They don't tell you that part. But I mean, it was the same thing for Broncos fans watching Russell Wilson last year. Every game, they'd leave with a little bit of a stomach ache. They didn't feel good. No, he was not. Career lows in QBR, completion percentage, touchdown to interception ratio, career high in sacks as well. But I like the why not this year because there is reason to believe that there could be progress made. I am curious, in your opinion, at what point are we going to see if the coaching really is that impactful or if he's just on this decline now and he's really only year two of this 5-year contract that he signed? Is he washed already? How soon will we find that out, you think?
I think we'll find it out early. I think we'll see it by the design of the offense, the strategy that Sean will impose upon in his game planning. You know, how am I going to win the game? What am I going to do to win this game? How am I going to approach this game? Am I going to give you a lot of Javonte Williams and Sammy Perrine? Or am I going to try to put the ball in Russell's hands and have him spread it around and potentially turn it over? And, you know, he's put a lot of money in the offensive line. He believes that, you know, that's where you win games, which he's correct about that. So I think we're going to see it early and how he manages it and see what he has defensively. You know, he's lost some good players. He signed Zach Allen, who was with Vance Joseph at Arizona last year. So they've kind of, you know, they've tried to retool. But remember, there's no Bradley Chubb on this team anymore, right? There's no Von Miller on this team anymore. Who's going to rush the passer and who's going to make the plays? We'll see.
Plus 550, again, the price there for the Denver Broncos in the AFC West. Another division plus money price, the Los Angeles Rams, to make the playoffs this year, Michael, are plus 310. Does it make you say why not?
No, it doesn't. 310's low for them, isn't it, to me? I mean, the Broncos were plus 550, and this is plus 310. It's just, you know what that shows us? How many teams... One of the things that happened to me when I was picking teams for the betting guide was the NFC was, you know, it was hard for me to not put a team, Detroit. I wasn't sure I wanted to put them in, but like, how do I not put them in, right? And there are not a lot of good teams where if you go through the AFC, you can make a case for pretty much everybody but Indy and Houston. And some people make a case for Indy because they think they're good on defense. Every team in the AFC, you couldn't say they have no chance. Even the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders played every team close last year. And, you know, they'll be better defensively. So the reason that's only plus 350 is because they could sneak in, but I'm shaking my head no.
It's a no for me, too. I don't see it with the Rams. So while that's the price for the Rams to make the playoffs, what about the Cowboys to miss just shy of 2-1, plus 195? We talked about this Dallas team earlier, back-to-back 12-win seasons, so it would seem hard to believe that they could take that big of a step back, but a tough division and a tough expectations to reach.
I don't see it, Stormy. That's a no way for me, too. I mean, look, if they don't make the playoffs, Mike McCarthy won't be the coach. Jerry Jones will have no choice. And if they don't make the playoffs, Dak has gotten hurt, and Cooper and I got Cooper Kupp on the brain, but you know, the backup quarterback didn't come through, which he did last year, right? So it's going to be, to me, I think that would be a hard thing for them not to make it. That would be really almost impossible. You know, Cooper Rush, I meant to say, that would be really impossible. So I don't like that one at all. I think this right now, Zach Martin will get worked out. I do think they'll add another running back to the team. I'm not sure they'll go with Deuce Vaughn as the main back. Maybe they will. Malik Davis, I don't know. But I think they're good enough on defense to win enough games to make it in a bad NFC division.
Yeah, that's another team. I wish I was hearing more of the talks of potentially bringing in a Dalvin Cook for them, because I think they do need a little bit of help in the running back room with Tony Pollard coming off of the injury. But I like Deuce Vaughn. Man, he is a tough little guy. For as small as he is dynamic, he's shifty, and he's a tough one. Let me sneak in one more this last minute and a half. The Jaguars to win all six divisional games, 6-1. Does it make you want to say why not or absolutely not?
Absolutely not. No, there's no way they're doing that. They're not that much better than the Titans, who I think will win the South. I think every time, I mean, look, Houston beat them last year. Can you believe that? Houston beat them last year. Right? I know, you know, so Indy came back and beat. I mean, no, I think it's hard to go 6-0 in your division. I mean, there's too much familiarity between the teams, between the coaches, and injuries play a factor. And here's the other thing that happens. Once you start beating a team enough, you sit there and say, well, we got this team. We'll beat them. There's no problem. And you lose focus, especially young teams. And when that creeps in, you're vulnerable to get beat.
I had the little chuckle just because this is another one of those teams similar to the Lions that just has so much hype coming into this season because of the way that they closed out the year. Obviously have that big comeback win in the playoffs. But you and I both are believers that the gap between the Jags and the Titans is not the way that it is perceived in the big picture nationally right now.
Explain to me, the Lions have hype and the Steelers have no hype. And yet the Steelers are 7-2 the last nine games, right? And their defense gave up basically 16 points, yet they have no hype. Everybody's doubting Mike Tomlin. I wrote about it today on VSiN.com.
Yeah, you got to make sure you check out that new article, and we'll do a full article breakdown this week as well. Great stuff as always today, Michael. Lots of fun.
Thank you, Stormy. Great job by you, too. Stay cool, Stormy, and hopefully no news breaks while you're in your car. At least no 49er news.
That was devastating yesterday. And you, hey, cool off. Take that jacket off. Get out of the office.